Good morning, everyone. I want to greet you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that came as a baby and lived a perfect life only to be falsely accused and to be crucified. Appreciated the service so far. The opening song says, "Live in me, Lord Jesus, live in me." Thank you for leading that. Thank you for leading that song. It was a very fitting to the service so far, and also to what I have to share with you this morning. Appreciate your devotionals, Pearl. I was able to sneak a quick picture of it before you erased it, because I was afraid that you would erase it, and it was quite fitting to what I had to share this morning, and I wanted to refer back to it. So the only thing I would say is you're welcome to share more on that. It's a very prominent thing that we all face in whether home life, workplace, inner Christian walk, in a lot of areas, in a lot of areas of our lives. This morning I plan to share a message that I prepared for Easter, was able to get off, but I was thankful that I had that for something to share this week here. But it came to mind that it's not Easter. Should I actually be sharing an Easter message? And the challenge came to my mind as I was processing this. Too many times, at least in my mind, maybe all of you are different, but we think, well, you know what? Things around Christmas should stay around Christmas. We only sing songs about Christmas and Easter. We only talk about resurrection and Christ's death, either around Easter or communion and whatever else. But our Savior came and died and rose for you and I. And as Gentiles, we have been lost without that. And we get caught up in only talking about certain subjects, maybe certain times of the year. But with such a prominent thing that came to save us, we should probably be talking about it every few weeks or all the time. Jesus came to die on the cross that has broken the old covenant and made a way that we can come boldly to Him and have a one-on-one relationship with our Savior. We are a blessed people so much that I don't think that we will ever fully comprehend what He has done for you and I. This morning we serve a God that chose to send His only Son down to this earth out of love for you and I. But he did not have to do that. He was not required to do that, but He did that out of love, so that we can have hope of a future. Without Him sending His Son, we would be lost without hope of life with Him. He sent His Son even though He knew it would cost Him His life. Who here would be willing to do something even though you knew it would cost you your own life? There would be things, I'm sure, that you would be willing to lay your life down for, but only first to look and try to figure a way. Can it be done some other way? Our Lord came to a lowly home to live just like you and I. No one can ever say that God doesn't understand. While he lived on this earth, he faced more than what we will probably ever face in our life. Our Lord was an outcast, turned away from by those that were close to him, spit on, beaten, hated, humiliated in public, falsely accused, made to carry his own cross, and ultimately crucified for what he stood for. I'm going to read the passage here on John 20. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. John 20. It's the story of Easter morning. Verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the sepulchre, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, and one of the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said unto him, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And then she thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposed him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is this to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, He showeth unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. We look at this very familiar story. It's very interesting to read the different accounts, would you say, in the Bible as people view it and how the different people view it and what they all saw. It's to get a real picture, you have to read numerous accounts. Thinking about the resurrection, I expect that none of you ever question whether Jesus actually rose from the dead. We've been taught and retaught the story of the resurrection, and he did not, and we don't even question a bit that it may not be true. For the Christian, Christ's resurrection is a core part of our belief system and the basis for our walk with him. Amen. But I ask this question, is he really risen? Is your Savior risen? There could be a real possibility that we can read the scripture of Jesus' resurrection and believe it without a doubt, but yet our Lord isn't risen. The message title this morning is Your Lord Risen? Today in the United States, it is estimated that around 70% of people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And I expect without a doubt that you all believe that here. Again, I asked, is your Lord really risen? This morning, it's sad to say, and it is fully possible for me to say and to believe with all my heart that God, that our Christ is risen while leaving him in the grave or still hanging on the cross in our hearts. It is a fact without a doubt that our Lord physically has risen on the third day. And we can believe that with all our hearts, while in a spiritual sense, we can be leaving him in the grave. First point today is, he risen in you? Is he alive in you? Do you have a relationship with him? The resurrection is not just a historical event that we read about in the Bible and read in the scriptures, but it must be a personal reality in our lives. We're looking at the story. We see Mary along with a few of the disciples and some. And they went to find Jesus. Even though they were expecting to find him still in the tomb, they went to seek their Lord. In order to have a risen Lord in our life, we need to first seek him. Someone that is new in the being a Christian may not know what they are all seeking, but they must be seeking. I'm sure you all had that feeling already. Lord, I don't know what you have for me, but I'm here. Show me what you have for me to do. Many know the story, but many have never experienced the power of the risen Lord within them. Too many people leave their Lord hanging on the cross. Too many people base all their life on the cross, but if he has not risen, the cross would mean nothing to the Christian. Too many, I'm not trying to diminish the symbol of the cross, but there's a lot of people around us, and we can easily fall into this trap ourselves. Very quickly, but they put a lot of stock in the symbol of the cross. And just because they wear a ring or a necklace or a wristband with the cross on it isn't going to save them from eternity. I ask this question: what are you hiding behind? Some of you might have heard me talk about this story, but back at our Halloween event that we were passing out tracts, and I talked to that one gentleman, and he kind of left a lasting impression. He was all dressed up in evil things and was identifying with the evil of this world. But when I challenged him on that, he pointed to the ring on his finger, and it said something about Christ. I forget what it was, and it had a cross on it. He was hiding behind the fact that he knew that Jesus died on the cross, but yet his actions did not reflect anything that what the cross stood for. He was hiding behind the cross. If you're feeling that those symbols give you something by having that, you're leaving Christ on the cross. The only power that can be obtained is to have a relationship with him, and that is only when he is risen within us. And when he is risen within you, others will see the fruits of that. Second point is the power of the risen Lord. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Jesus was hung on the cross and died with his earthly body, but when he arose, he was changed. He did not return to his earthly state, but he came out of the grave, glorified, triumphed over the old life. There was a newness. There was a power that wasn't there before, and he had the ability to appear and come and go freely like never before. We too, when we make a choice to die from our old life and choose a new life of walking with our Savior, we are given the power to overcome the sin of this world. This power is not of our own, but is of the Lord as long as we walk with him. both the power, but there is a power that brings life changes if we choose God. I just want to draw your mind to Peter. In the time leading up to the crucifixion, I believe that Peter dealt with a lot of fear and insecurity in his life, even though at times he put on a good front. And the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he said to him, we see him denying Jesus three times out of fear of people. But later on, in Acts 2, just weeks after Peter's experience the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks boldly in Jerusalem. And preaching the word of God without the fear of man, there was a new boldness. There was a new confidence. And because of the new power that flowed through him, 3,000 souls were saved that day. The new Peter did not come from Peter himself. But it came from accepting the risen Savior for who he was. It came from having a relationship one-on-one with Jesus. We can too be changed by our Lord if we allow him to work in and through us. But for us to experience that power, we must have that personal relationship with him. My third point is the proof of the risen Lord in the believer. Galatians 2:20, as I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me, and gave himself for me. The proof of the resurrection is not only in the empty tomb, but in the lives of those that follow Jesus. We can go around and preach every day to those around us that Christ is risen. But yet we all could still have an empty tomb. We can be a saint on Sunday, but yet we are. But what is filling your heart? What is inside will come out. Is your heart filled with the risen Savior? There will be proof that will be flowing out for the world to see. It will be evident for all around you to see if Christ has risen in your life. When talking to the world around you, you tell them Christ lives within us. What picture of Christ are you giving to them? Are you showing them a heart of greed or pride, or are you showing them the humility and love of our Lord Jesus Christ? Does the world see you taking part of things of this world, or do they see that you do not fit into society of this world? We rub shoulders every day, and there's people that we deal with probably on a more regular basis of this world than even some of our brothers here because of our business dealings. What are those people saying about you? Do they see that you do not fit into the mold of this world? Do they see that Jesus shining out of your life? Is Jesus truly risen in your life. And if he is, you will not be able to hide it from those you meet. If our Jesus is risen, people will see that we will have love for others. They will see that we have humility. They will see that we have patience, kindness. They will see the victory over sin. They will see that you'll have a passion for things of God. And one that the world struggles to understand is when they see a true Christian having peace in trials, a joy in sufferings, a hope in death. What are people seeing in you? What are people seeing in me? I said earlier, around 70% of Americans believe in the resurrection of Christ. And the sad thing is, it's less than half of those same people that claim that Jesus is risen ever attend. Only half of those 70% ever attend church regularly. If we claim the risen Lord as our own, there should be visible evidence. A dead faith bears no fruit, but a living Savior brings forth living faith. Fourth point is the hope of a risen Lord. First Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He is alive. He is alive now and forevermore, and can be risen within you if you so choose. But you will have to make that choice. He came as a sacrifice for you and I. He came. He is also called the first fruits of those that turned from him and died, so that you will have life again. Verse 26 says that for Adam, all died. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, we are predestined to die a physical and also a spiritual death. But later in the verse it says, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Because of Christ, we now have a future. We now can live. We now have something to live for. We now have hope. We now can live life with excitement and should be radiating Christ out of our life because he gave us a purpose. We now can have a spiritual birth, and in the future we can live with him eternally. And death is no longer the end. We're not trapped. There are so many people that live without hope and live in fear of the future because they do not have a hope of eternal life. They have no path forward. one point that stood out in Froll's devotions. He said the main key thing of getting along and having a good relationship is the communication. What do you say is 3 points? Communication, communication, communication. And that's not just in the physical lives. If we don't have the communication with our Lord Jesus Christ, everything is pointless. We won't have forgiveness. We won't have the courage that Christ gives us. And if we don't learn to have, if we don't have a life that is filled with Christ, risen Christ, we won't be a humble people. We won't have courage. We won't be accountability. There's so many things that fit all into that. So we must maintain our communication with our Lord. Communication is a two-way street. Sometimes we go to God and we are asking, we're asking about all our cares, and we forget to ask God, what do you have for me? We forget to listen. I'm not sure if it's out because we get so caught up in our needs, or we're scared that God might tell us, give us something that we don't want. I think that could be a real possibility. From time to time, we meet with people that have totally turned away from God because they have seen all the terrible things that happened to either their loved ones, their family, their children, or others around them. And they cry out and say, where is God? If God is a God of love, then where was He when we needed Him? They ask, why can't we see Him working if He's a living God? Sometimes, I think if we're really honest, and maybe I'm the only one that struggles with this, but maybe you're facing something hard. And you might ask, God, really, why are you allowing this? You ask, what, God, where are you all in this? You know those people that struggle with, where is God? Why is He allowing this? And they say they can't see Him. The reason they don't see Him is they are looking in the wrong place. Back in Luke 24:5, it says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. This morning, are you struggling and feeling close to your Lord? Are you asking, Lord, why? Are you struggling to understand what God has for your life? Are you looking for Jesus in the wrong place this morning? This morning I can be desperately trying to figure out why my walk with God seems to be of little value. But until I allow my Lord to come out of the grave and I spiritually seek Him, I will not find Him and I will die spiritually. Our Lord reveals Himself to those that are seeking. You just think, look back over the passages that talk about his resurrection. It was the people that were closest to him, that had a relationship with him, that actually Jesus revealed himself as they were walking from city to city or house to wherever they were all walking after his resurrection. It was the closest ones that actually loved the Lord and were seeking that he revealed himself to. And maybe if we're not seeing God, it's because of our walk is not where it should be. I also ask the question again, what are you hiding behind this morning? Am I hiding behind things of this world? Or even the fact that Jesus physically rose from the dead? Or is the Lord risen within you? I trust that every one of you are walking a life that is filled with the risen Lord. Let's come to a kneeling prayer.